All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our NBA podcast for Wednesday, March 28th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis
coming at you live from the Casa de la Norrie. Yeah, whatever. However,
Casa del Norrie.
Casa del Norrie. There you go. So we're doing a live podcast here as the Davis family visiting the Norrie family. And as always, we're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Head on over to the site and grab a free 3-day trial of our projection system powered by Lineup Lab. Optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings NBA while the season still finishes down here and then into the playoffs. MLB, which starts tomorrow. Ooh. We'll be recording our first MLB podcast after this one, so that'll go up on the feed and I'll put up a link. You're all covered under one subscription package, free for 3 days, and then just $34.95 a month after. Good to go.
There's a special right now.
Oh,
did you know?
I did not know.
It's $29.95 a month for the next week until baseball season is in full swing. So if you sign up right now, you still get that 3-day free trial, and you get your lifetime subscription will only cost $29.95 a month if you stick with it. So that's a one-time shot. Price goes back up a week from tomorrow, so a week from Thursday.
A lot of craziness in the NBA last night with the Heat beating the Cavs and some other injury stuff coming up today. But I think the biggest upset from yesterday was probably your middle child winning the King of the Hill battle between the three kids, the 15-minute long King of the Hill, Sand Dune King of the Hill battle that went on. Where it was just basically if you the first kid to 20 seconds that could stand alone for 20 seconds on the top, and the undersized, I don't want to give your name out because I don't know if you want your kids' names on this, but
sure.
your undersized kid beat the two oldest kids of the group. Would you call that the biggest upset of the day yesterday?
Yeah, well, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog, Doug. And also, you know, brains over brawn won out the day. They went tumbling down the hill, you know, your oldest child and mine in each other's arms, rolling, trying to scrap towards the top. And we were forcing them to do this, by the way. This is like kind of a rite of passage.
Right. Gladiator's going to be gladiator.
Yeah, yeah. Like who gets first crack at dinner type of thing. But yeah, he reigned victorious, was doing the Rocky two hands over the head, kind of fist pump celebration. So it was a good one.
It was a day. And then we also won a soccer game against the two kids. So a pretty active day yesterday, I think, all things considered. All right.
Yeah.
8-game schedule for the NBA tonight. A lot to break down here as there's a ton of injury news that's come out overnight and into the morning that's going to affect lineups. I think we're going to be in a place today where there are also almost, I don't say too much, but there's a ton of value on this slate with injuries, with teams kind of resting, other teams moving into the playoffs, and then we'll kind of break it down as we go game by game, and then some question marks around where some teams are going to land in terms of, like, are they still trying to tank? Are they just going to play their guys? We'll go through game by game and kind of try to wade through the news. There are a bunch of games that have 10 or more spreads, so there's some blowout risk, kind of a lot to break down. The first game is the Knicks go in and play the Sixers. Sixers are pretty much set where they're going to be for the playoffs now in terms of the East. There is some chance that they could catch the Cavs, and I think that's why you see at least the Cavs motivated to continue playing. I think the Sixers are going to continue just sort of on their course, which has been they're not really going crazy playing guys a lot of minutes. They're fourth in the East right now, tied with the Pacers, but they own the tiebreaker. So they would get a home court playoff. First round of the playoffs if the season ended now, with some chance they could catch the Cavs, and then also some chance they could have the Pacers leapfrog over them. The line is set at 12.5. They brought Markelle Fultz back last game. He was awesome in only 15 minutes. But I think, you know, one of my one problem with the Sixers right now in terms of DFS, one, we're worried about the blowout. Two is they have done a really good job. They're very deep. They're actually all of a sudden a pretty deep team. Like, they added Bellinelli, they added Ersan Ilyasova, and now they're getting Fultz back into the fold. With a 12.5 point spread, is this just not the place we want to be with some of these guys? Like, their minutes are really they're not consolidating their minutes. They've really spread. They've gotten pretty thin with their rotations over the last couple weeks.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's important to note before we really dive into any specific game, there's a lot of really insane value on this slate. So that's going to make us a lot pickier for cash game purposes. So guys who might sometimes be like reasonable mid-tier options, you know, plays along the lines of like JJ Redick or Robert Covington that we'll dabble into on a 5-6 game slate, those really aren't going to make the cut tonight just because you've got some absurdly great cheap plays like Shabazz Napier we'll get to later. He's going to be a 95% start or something like that. So when you have the presence of those guys chewing up lineup spots, it's really hard to just kind of like sneak in at like solid 6K value, or a guy like Embiid who's like a reasonable payoff at 10,000 in a plus matchup with New York, but like not the headlining payoff tonight, right? So, and you know, the minutes haven't even really been there for him either. So I think across the board, it's probably just not, you're going to hear a lot of waffling in my voice until we get to the really exciting place.
Yep. Sixers are one of those teams I'm really excited for. This is one of the reasons I'm actually excited for the playoffs, is to see what the Sixers do. They are a team that I'm sure that at this point nobody really wants to play in the first round. The Knicks, they are...
No one wants to play them in the first round either.
Oh, man, the Knicks are hilarious. I was made a joke off the podcast. I was like, if you grab enough of other teams' cast-off point guards, you're eventually going to find one that sticks, and Trey Burke looks like he's the guy. He was the play of the night their night as he played in the starting lineup. Went for like 60-something fantasy points or somewhere around there. Yep. So we
42 and 12.
Right. Okay. So he's going to stick in the starting lineup. He played 40 minutes. Now, that was an overtime game, so it was 35 minutes in regulation. Now, he is middle tier in terms of price, so it's not like we're getting him on the crazy cheap anymore. He's 6,300 on FanDuel. But, I mean, 6,300... See, these are always the hardest situations for me to evaluate because... And we talked about this with Quinn Cook yesterday, right? It's like, you really can't take his full season stats and translate them per minute, right? Now, his full season per minute stats are kind of awesome. So let's start there. But we also can look at his 6,300 price tag and think, oh, I remember when I got Trey Burke at 4,500. He's 6,300. It's just too expensive now. And yet he went 10x on this price. Like, is 6,300 just not too expensive for him, considering the way he's playing, the kind of point per minute stats that he can put up? He doesn't just need the score. He gets assists as well, and he actually rebounds a decent amount. I mean, what do we think about Trey Burke? Sometimes I think people will look at the 6,300 and say, oh, now he's too expensive. I'm just not really sure that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, since he started playing 20-plus minutes per game, you know, dabbling in this early February, settling into that role late February, he's been very, very solid at more than a fantasy point per minute, regardless of how many minutes he had. So he can score 25 fantasy points in 19 minutes against Charlotte, or 33 against Washington in 27 minutes. It's actually very, very consistent. And we've seen this with point guards in the past. If you inherit the offense and you have the ball in your hands on the same order of a guy like Chris Paul or whatever, which Trey Burke effectively is fitting in for the Knicks right now, you're going to be able to distribute as long as other teammates are hitting shots. And Trey Burke's not shy about shooting either. So I think if you're going to give him 35 minutes tonight, which seems totally fair, he's an excellent cash game play. The question will be is if point guard's too crowded on FanDuel to fit him in. I mean, DraftKings makes it a little easier with multi-position eligibility, but FanDuel, it's a lot dicier for me.
Yeah, there's just a lot of point guard value. It's one of those things where we're going to look and say, there's four guys I kind of want to play a point guard. I wish one of them would play power forward. This is the old, we're going to probably be in that same power forward position that I think we were in yesterday, is that there's just not enough power forwards to go around, and tonight there may just be too many point guards. Other guys that may take a look at, Michael Beasley still getting around 30 minutes. His role looks safe. Again, we're worried about the blowout. The Knicks are still one of these teams that will not play their starters through a blowout. Like, you know, Atlanta and the Suns have no problem doing
it. Take it easy, boys. No, we got nine more games this season.
Yeah, they're not going to do that. They'll play guys like Hicks and Cornette in blowouts because they're still subscribing to our starters need to rest now that they're getting blown out.
It's just lazy thinking.
Yeah. So keep that in mind if you're worried about the Sixers kind of running them off the court. Cleveland goes in and plays Charlotte. This game has the highest over-under of the night at 227, nearly 10 points higher than just about any other game on the slate except for that Philly game. But that a lot of that's coming in on the Sixer side. LeBron and company coming off a bad game last night against Miami where they were able to match up him basically to death and really force him. They were able to force a ton of turnovers out of him because as they weren't able to just space the floor well. And this is a constant problem with the Heat because they're just really well coached and they're just able to sort of figure out rotations that are going to help maybe just kind of neutralize him being LeBron. Now, Charlotte is not the same way here. We see a ton of points here. Charlotte actually a -1 favorite, which if you're the Cavs, you got to be really looking yourself in the mirror.
You got to be taking it personally.
That's what I mean. Like, you're the third in the East right now. Could definitely... You are in striking distance of being able to drop out of home court contention. With all the cheap plays though, with LeBron, even on the back to back, he has not missed a game this year. He's at 12.5. The next most expensive play on FanDuel is Karl Anthony Towns at 10.8 and then Embiid down to 10.2. So we've already mentioned there's gonna be a ton of cheap value. Do we just say kind of screw it here with LeBron? Let's just play him because one, it's a great matchup. Charlotte's not very good on defense. Two, it's LeBron. Three, there's just so many cheap plays that it looks like it's going to be tough to even just spend all the way up in the salary just to start.
Yeah, it'll be tough to not play LeBron for exactly the reason you mentioned. I mean, it'd be one thing if we had Westbrook and Durant, you know, like a bunch of other big money payoffs, Harden going here that we could pick between. But for a 9-game slate, 8-game slate, there's actually precious few superstars for DFS purposes going tonight. So I would not be excited about LeBron whatsoever in the absence of great $3,500 plays, but we've got multiples of them. You know, I mentioned Portland guys already. There's some value opening up in Atlanta too. There's just value all over the place. And I think for that reason, it's going to be extremely difficult to get away from playing him, no matter how excited you are about him. Just because I don't think anyone would dispute that he is a heavy favorite to be the highest overall fantasy point scorer on the night, and raw points are probably going to get you home tonight.
Yeah, I think that's right. If you run lineups on our site, at least on FanDuel, the top lineup clearly has LeBron, and then the next lineup is 4.5 points less. Like, you, according to our system, if you were to X him out, you're getting a 4.5 point decrease in expectation on your overall fantasy production. That's a ton. So just as a note, I mean, that can maybe not sound like a lot because, like, oh, that's a, you know, it's a 3-pointer and a rebound away, but that is. In with how many iterations there are for lineups, you'll really never see that kind of drop off from one player to having one player to the next highest player. So I think we're getting into a point where LeBron is, he'll definitely be the highest owned big money cash play, may just be the highest overall play outside of maybe guys like Napier, like you mentioned before. Anyone else you like from the Cavs? Kevin Love, still seeing minutes in the mid 30s. I mentioned that power forward's a real problem. It's hard to see who else. I mean, George Hill, we talked about yesterday as a possible play. Anything else you like on the Cavs?
Yeah, I mean, Love took that shot to the face yesterday. He was evaluated for concussion-like symptoms, didn't return in the second half in spite of being, I guess, ostensibly available to return. And that's going to open up plenty of opportunity. If he doesn't wind up playing tonight, that could open up a lot of opportunity for guys like Jeff Green, who we've seen take advantage of that role to quite a considerable degree. And also puts even more shine on LeBron. You know, no Love out there means there should be more shots going his way. And unlike Miami, who can then take advantage of better matchups, Charlotte doesn't really have that luxury. You know, the guys that they have to potentially throw on a LeBron, like Batum, MKG, Marvin Williams, like, none of those guys are going to present the same sort of defensive posturing that Winslow or James Johnson will. So, yeah, I think that just makes LeBron a little bit better. Definitely keep an eye on whoever's going to fill in for Love in the starting lineup. If Love does wind up playing, I'll assume that he's all systems go, because the type of thing, like, when they're evaluating you for concussion-like symptoms, it's pretty much you either have one or you don't. And in spite of the Cavs playing for a first-round home court advantage, I don't think they would put Love's overall health at risk here.
And I mean, we need to take a look at Charlotte again here too. They're favored. So, and they're favored in the highest overall.
Yeah, against a bad defense.
Overall points. Overall points matchup in this one. Kemba Walker has, you know, shown a huge scoring upside at times. Dwight Howard, the Cavs don't really have someone to front him, and they're fine running Howard out there for big minutes. They are getting Batum back, so we lose a little bit of the value. It's mostly just Walker and Howard, I think, that I'm considering. But do you see Dwight as a possible big money payoff, knowing that the Cavs, they're still going to struggle to defend centers, especially a guy like him, a low post, just big body. They do not have a big body to really match up with him.
Yeah, potentially. Again, though, it's just such a competitive slate. Like, are you going to play Dwight at 8,700 against Cleveland, or Vucevic against, at the exact same price against Brooklyn? You know, like, there's just so many, or DJ at a very similar price against Phoenix. You know, like, there's so many good plays tonight in similar price ranges that I think it actually opens up a lot of really interesting GPP options for my mind. Like, you can stack this game, I think, pretty credibly for big tournaments, and probably it's on paper, Cleveland-Charlotte doesn't sound like a very sexy stack, but I think you might be able to get home on that, especially given the tight spread that Vegas is forecasting here. But yeah, no, for cash games, I'd be surprised if Walker or a super competitive point guard position or even Howard make the cut.
And that's why I do like those guys as pivots for GPPs, because I think you're, again, we're going to struggle to pay up, but stacking this game does feel, at least in terms of Vegas, it feels like you are going to, you could grab the most points. Brooklyn goes in and plays Orlando. These two teams, Brooklyn's not trying to tank. They're just bad. They're right now 23-51 on the season. Do not own their first pick. Still are struggling to win games. Then you have, on the other side, you have Orlando that they are trying to tank. They are still sort of in the race for the top pick, the best odds in the draft, though. They're probably not going to get there unless they continue to lose. The Magic are without, they're going to be without Jonathan Isaac again, they're going to be without Jonathan Simmons again, and they're still without Fournier. We saw huge minutes out of the starters the other day. Gordon, Vucevic, DJ Augustin played a ton of minutes, and then Mario Hezonja played a lot of minutes as well. If that's going to be the plan here, are we considering, you mentioned Vucevic a second ago when we talked about centers, if that's going to be the plan with their minutes, one, do we trust the plan with that minutes? And then two, that's a problem. And then, two, do these guys end up maybe moving into the cash game consideration simply because this is a good matchup against the Nets.
I think so. I mean, I think the three guys you mentioned, particularly Augustine, Hezonja, Gordon and Vucevic, all totally cash game viable to me, even on a very competitive slate. Augustine, I would guess, winds up being sort of the odd man out at a very competitive position, but small forward doesn't have that issue. Power forward doesn't have that issue. And Vucevic is just such a good play at that price point in this matchup that I think he might just win the overall battle here. But yeah, Hezonja and Gordon, great fill-in options for all formats, in my opinion.
Yeah, Gordon's coming off a huge game.
A monster game.
Yeah, last game he had 63 fantasy points. Now, that was against Phoenix, so take that
Brooklyn's just as good a matchup.
Yeah,
that's better, fair. Arguably.
And at a power forward position that's tough to fill, it might make sense to start paying up for a guy like Gordon at 8,000 on FanDuel. That's going to be one of those close calls. But if we're getting enough value everywhere else, I don't really mind doing it. Brooklyn, a little harder to figure. They're still running their starters. They're not really running their starters anything like consistent minutes. So I don't think we can feel too great about running the Nets out in this situation. Portland goes in and plays Memphis. Obviously, we mentioned Damian Lillard is out with the birth of his child. So he was ruled out late last night as she went into labor. He's not going to play today. Napier, does this put... It's a bad matchup against Memphis in that they're still very slow, but does this put Napier and then McCollum, who sees a pretty significant usage bump without Lillard, as just the two guys to maybe just stack in this game, even knowing that we're not getting them in the best matchup?
Napier's an autoplay. We know how this plays out in the past. He can play 26 minutes and pay this price handily. If you have him penciled in for like 35 minutes, 10x I think is a fairly reasonable projection for him. You have to play him in cash game. He'll be a 90%+ start almost without a doubt. McCollum's a little closer to me, again, just because the slate is so competitive. And yeah, he gets kind of like the classic usage bump that you get when your star point guard is out. But we've seen Napier, he actually keeps the ball in his hands a decent amount. It's not like a Chris Paul situation where if he goes down, Harden becomes the de facto point guard. You will still see Napier bringing the ball up the court, and you'll see McCollum get a lot of shots. He's going to have plenty of opportunity to pay this price. He's a solid option, just not one that I think you have to include or else you're going to hate your lineups.
Yeah, and the rest of the Trailblazers, they play rotations. Guys like, Mo Harkless is without a timetable return, but that doesn't really always translate to a guy like Evan Turner. He played 35 minutes last game, but if you go back into the rest of the log, there's plenty of games where Harkless sat, right. Turner started, and played like 24 minutes. So,
just to be fair, though, a lot of those games that Harkless started, Lillard was also there, and Napier actually took a lot of Harkless's minutes. So the fact that we have Lillard and Harkless missing here probably does give me an increased sense of optimism about Evan Turner's chances here.
Yep, I'm with you, and I'm also just a little bit worried about the Blazers' minutes in general because they are not completely locked into the third slot in the East, but they're very close. In the West. They're 2.5 games up on the Thunder right now. That's a lot to make up with such
three and a loss. It'd be tough to get that.
Right, with so little time left to go in the season. So still wanting to win the game. And look, Memphis is a bad team too. So they should be able to win this game even without Lillard, honestly. And then you get Memphis on the other side of the ball. There's a bad matchup against Portland, who's a very good defense. And then we see guys like Andrew Harrison play a lot of minutes. He struggles to do a ton on the court, especially when Gasol is around. The way they run their offense, they get into these half-court sets and just kind of slow and plodding. They've played their starters decent amount of minutes. They started last game with Harrison, Martin, Green, Gasol, and Dylan Brooks. And those guys will play, and I'm just not sure on a night like tonight that's even where I want to be. Even for any kind of contest.
Yeah, those guys are mostly bad, and they're even in many cases priced somewhat efficiently now. Like, Martin and Green have seen upticks in price, and the matchup is not very good. It's just not going to be, certainly not what you want to prioritize. If you wind up with a stray one of those guys in your cash games, because that's how the money works out or something, you can think about it, but don't bend over backwards here.
And just to reiterate, Napier is going to be almost definitely the highest owned player on the slate, just because we have such clear evidence of what happens when Lillard is not around, and Lillard is the exact kind of guy that you want to lose in terms of DFS because he just takes so many shots, and those shots just will go to the guards in the set. So just don't.
And again, Napier's free. It's 3,500.
I think you can consider fading him in GBPs only because you just know that the ownership is going to be so high, and there are other options tonight. And I think that's the one case to make to fade him is that if you think he's going to be 60% owned in tournaments, then if you just want to go with some of these other cheap guards and hope they get there or kind of middle out your guards, or just spend up a guard, like guys like Kemba Walker or something like that, and take your payoff somewhere else. I think this is the night you can do it, and it's still going to be not a comfortable place to be. 8 o'clock, last 8 o'clock game, Minnesota hosts Atlanta. They are -11.5 favorites going into this game. Minnesota's playoff, their playoff fate is not totally sealed. They're a game, they're one game up in the loss column on the Clippers, who have a decent matchup tonight, so they have to be a little bit worried about that.
Oh, they're going
to
be playing. But they're not just going to be like sitting anyone.
Yeah, no. But they're facing an Atlanta team who's really bad. Are we feeling comfortable, you know, when we're talking about guys, places to spend up, right? Like, mm-hmm. we've talked at length about how Minnesota is just fairly priced at this point because of how they've run their starters basically all season. And is this a game to just maybe overpay a little bit, knowing we're going to get savings? Do we maybe overpay for a guy like Towns? Do we overpay a little bit for not Wiggins as much? It's mostly Towns I'm looking at. The 10-8 at a center position, is this a place where we can spend up and feel safe that he's going to get his full run, even in a possible blowout situation?
Yeah, I mean, he gets his full run very consistently, of course, but he also, his full run hasn't been worth 10-8 this season. And sure, it's an excellent matchup against Atlanta, one of the very best possible matchups for opposing centers in all of the NBA, but the man averages 43.6 fantasy points per game. Like, that's really not good at 10-8. And it's not, again, like, oh, well, that's not fair because he has increased opportunity or the star player is injured. No, Minnesota's been playing with the same team, minus Jimmy Butler, I guess. But for most of the season, the Jimmy Butler going down hasn't really made Towns a better fantasy player. I don't see why I'd be super excited about running him out there instead of some of those other guys I mentioned that are 2,000 less that arguably might be favorites to outscore him tonight in better matchups. So is Towns playable? Yeah, I suppose so. You can certainly see 50-plus point games on his game log recently. He's probably a favorite to play the minutes. Also, the spread in this game is significantly higher than the spreads for the guys like that we mentioned earlier, even Dwight Howard. So he is not on the top of my list to prioritize whatsoever. I suppose on a raw points basis, I could see maybe it gets there, but I'd be pretty surprised if paying $2,000 down for Vucevic or somebody didn't open up better opportunity elsewhere.
Yeah, I agree. I'd rather take the $2,000 savings just on the two guys you mentioned, Howard and Vucevic in particular. I mean, even Embiid comes in close. You're right. The Towns is he'll have games where he gets there, and then that just seems like more often than not.
Yeah, the baseline's just not there. He's right. Not a $10,800 player, and playing in a good matchup doesn't make it so, you know.
On the Atlanta side, they're going to be without Dennis Schroeder. He is sitting out this game, and they have other injury problems. I mean, Malcolm Delaney is still sitting. Last game, they did run Isaiah Taylor a lot of minutes. With Damian Lee started as well, but he only played about 25. Taylor was really good, considering he's only 3,600. He played over 30 minutes, went almost 10x on this price. Is he a guy that we can maybe consider? Do we trust the Hawks enough for a guy like Isaiah Taylor to just run enough point guard minutes, even in a potential blowout where paying... I mean, we already have Napier there, and we have some other point guards, but does he maybe fit into the conversation of where we can get for value?
Yeah, he's on that short list for me. Great pivot from Napier for GPPs, like you mentioned earlier. In that conversation with guys like Trey Burke and Napier for my overall two point guard slots that I have, and I certainly feel less excited about him than I do Napier in particular. So it's really going to come down to what kind of payoffs am I getting elsewhere? What kind of savings am I getting? Because honestly, Trey Burke isn't a conventional payoff in that he's 6,300, but I think he's so effective at that price on the projected minutes that we have him for that I would be okay. You know, it's something I actually wrote about in our basketball ebook, MLB ebook, by the way, available at dfsr.com/ebook. But it's something I wrote about in the NBA ebook, which is don't punt away from your best plays. You know, if you already have a great play on a points per dollar basis because a guy is too cheap at his current price point, you don't need to punt even further down to like get a mediocre. Like, you don't want to punt, say, from Trey Burke down to Isaiah Taylor if it means you go up from Vucevic to Karl Towns, you know, like, and so I think that kind of is the sort of thing I'll be thinking about tonight. Now, if there are excellent plays that I can pay up for elsewhere, I see him as very similar to Burke, but yeah, those plays are all close enough that I don't feel like I need to prioritize going double 3,500 at point guard.
All right, before we get into the 9:30 games, hit us up with a sponsor.
Yeah, speaking of baseball season, FantasyFactor.com is running a home run derby contest, which is another, you know, one of the coolest things about Fantasy Factor just in general. We're just coming off their March Madness promo that they did. They're running a $100,000 home run derby contest where basically you can get in there and it's just like it sounds. You try to project who's going to be hitting home runs throughout the season. It's a more hands-off way to play a very hands-on and intensive MLB DFS slate. Really cool site at Fantasy Factor. So they do not only these kind of niche contests, but they did Super Bowl squares as well. But they also do your classic salary cap game format. And the great part about Fantasy Factor, of course, is that it's not inhabited by sharks putting in 10,000 lineups each. So you can really get in there, play against a more casual crowd, which should be great for your bankroll. And it's all the same high-level software experience that you're used to playing elsewhere. So check them out, fantasyfactor.com.
9:30 game. Boston goes in and plays Utah. This is going to be a real slow game.
It's a full-on skipperoo, is what it sounds like.
Utah minus 6.5. Their playoff seeding is not set, but it's pretty close. They are 2 games up on the Clippers in the loss column, so they're still motivated to keep winning. Boston, they are pretty much set. I would just call them basically set. 3.5 games behind the Raptors with no real discernible way to catch them. Even though they've won 4, they've been without. This is the Celtics are crazy, man. They've lost Kyrie for the short term. Are still on a 4-game. They had a nice schedule, but they're still on a 4-game winning streak. This game has a 195 over-under, which is 5 points less than the next closest game and 10 points less than most of the other games. You kind of mentioned this as being a skip. I guess it wasn't hyperbole. Should we just kind of skip this game from a DFS angle?
Yeah, I mean, both teams are already not sources of great DFS value, and they both have terrible matchups with the opposing team. So we've already talked about how competitive it is. We're like wringing our hands. Can we play Nikola Vucevic at 8,700 in the best possible matchup? Like, you're not going to pull any plays from this game for your cash games and for big tournaments, honestly, on a night like tonight. Maybe you just try to go off board and catch Donovan Mitchell lightning in a bottle or something, but no, you're not dreaming on big upside here.
There's not going to be enough volume is the problem. That's what I'm saying.
You have to get overtime, basically.
Right, not enough possessions to really catch a lot of these other plays. Now, one game that is going to have enough possessions, you would think, is the Clippers go in and play the Suns. Clippers, an 8-point road favorite right now. The news here is that Teodosic was hurt yesterday, did not come back in the second half, and is not going to play tonight. Lou Williams moved back into the starting lineup. Now, the Clippers obviously get the very best matchup you can get in DFS, fast-paced Suns, no defense Suns. Yep. This is a theme we've pounded all year, and it's correct almost every single time just because of the nature of the way they play. Lou Will is one of those guys that his price has come really down on the recent performance, and now we're getting him in the very best matchup. It can feel weird to buy this guy sometimes, and I know that he didn't always get there, especially when he was in the starting lineup.
Last night.
Yeah, last night, exactly. He did play 37 minutes, but he's coming in at 100% of our lineups right now. This is not the kind of thing that usually changes at his price point. Would you feel comfortable with him as a 100% across the board cash play?
100%, yeah. If the plan for him right now is to play 37 minutes, then he should be in my cash game lineups because, again, that price is mostly fair. The Clippers have everything to play for right now. One game back in the loss column to Minnesota, desperately wanting to make the playoffs to justify that Blake trade. You can bet your sweet ass, Doug. And it's sweet it is, believe me.
My eyes went wide.
We're in the room together, and I have a full visual on it.
I was not listening until you said that.
You can bet that the Clippers will be not worrying about things like resting people on the second half of a back-to-back here. We know the plan is for Lou Will to be out there running the second unit. Clippers on a 2-game win streak. Minnesota on a 2-game losing streak. They smell blood in the water. Yeah, I'm happy to play Lou Will here. And DeAndre Jordan for the same reason. I think Jordan also with a truly elite matchup here. The Suns have been even worse against the opposing centers since Tyson Chandler's went down. And from top to bottom, but Rivers, Lou Will, Jordan, there's a lot to like about this team right now.
Yeah, Rivers is another one, which kind of makes the point guard situation even that much more difficult to kind of wade through. We mentioned the guys we liked already, and Rivers fits into that list as well. He could play 40 minutes. Losing Teodosic means that they're just out a primary ball handler.
He could play 44 minutes. Right, like, we've seen it from him in the past. No problem.
They don't have a ton of primary ball handlers. They don't want Lou Williams running the point for long stretches. I think that's pretty clear. And so Teodosic was playing like 30 minutes a game in the short term. So I think you're right. I think we could see something like 41, 42 minutes out of Rivers here in the best matchup. And that's just another guy that's going to make the point guard decisions just difficult on this slate. I think it's better for DraftKings, better for a place like a fantasy draft that allows you to play 2 utility slots if you're wanting to just spend up at the forward slot and just maybe roster something like 5 point guards tonight. Fantasy draft is a nice place to do that. And then we get the Suns, who looks like Booker and Warren is already out. Booker is doubtful. Josh Jackson, they are not a team that's worried about blowouts. Josh Jackson plays 35, 36, 37 minutes.
39 in back-to-back games.
That's what I mean, with crazy high usage. Clippers are not that great of a defense. Is he a guy that we just consider, even at 7,500 on FanDuel, he's right around the same price on DraftKings, is he a guy that we want to consider? It's sort of in that Lou Williams upper-middle tier category.
Yeah, that rock-solid mid-range payoff, 100%. I mean, again, small forward is kind of tough tonight, too, with guys like Hezonja. kind of just sitting there being like, you kind of got to play me, right, at 5,600. But yeah, Jackson at 7,500. He's seen a lot of ownership. He hasn't really been as explosive on these 36, 37 minutes as it looked like he would be when he was playing 23 to 27 minutes. But nonetheless, it's still an excellent matchup here against the Clippers, who, unless they try to go the Wes Johnson route, they don't really field an excellent defensive small forward. So yeah, I think Jackson, another very excellent, very, very good cash game inclusion.
Yeah, they got Alan Williams back last game. He played 15 minutes. He's a points per dollar beast. He's a guy that it would be funny if he were to ever enter the starting lineup in the center kind of mix that they have, and you could slot him in for 20 minutes. Like, he's a guy on 20 minutes. Like, he went nearly 5x in 15 minutes the other day. So, and he's been playing in the G League, so it hasn't been a total injury thing. Like, so just keep an eye out if they decide to go a different route with their starting center. In the starting center, Troy Daniels is another guy too. Sees a lot of minutes. He needs the score. He's the highest points to fantasy points ratio that we've seen in basically the entire NBA. Something like 72% of his fantasy production comes from just actually scoring, which is going to.
It hasn't really mattered though. I mean, you get 5x on lock basically outside of that Orlando game. So I think Daniels still a solid option.
All right, so yeah, interesting game. This one's one that's going to be heavily featured in our lineups and really probably just in the industry as a whole, just because there's just a lot of points that are going to go up. Last game on the schedule, Dallas goes in and plays the Lakers. Dallas is still without J.J. Barea for this game. They're on a back-to-back. They sat guys like Powell and Dorian Finney-Smith yesterday. I'm not sure it totally matters for their point of view, but Harrison Barnes has been a guy that's played a lot of minutes, was pretty good last night. Harrison Barnes in particular is really the guy that I'm looking at here. His minutes and opportunity have been there. The Lakers are still a good matchup, and he's, of all the guys that they have, he seems like the one whose opportunity is fairly safe at this point. Could we see rostering him at something like a mid-range value?
Yeah, I think Barnes is a solid option. You know, I always feel pretty unexcited about playing him on slates like these, just because I feel like everywhere else I look, I'm getting like absurd value and like, you know, new opportunity and, you know, just kind of these types of situations I'm super excited about. The one thing about Barnes here, of course, is that he's got an excellent matchup with the Lakers. And so that kind of gets you there. The Lakers still playing one of the top paces in the league, and their defense has regressed back to where we were used to sort of in the past. So yeah, for that reason, I could see him kind of being in there. I would just as soon not like make those concessions just on a salary basis. Like, if I could choose between him, Hezonja, and Josh Jackson, I would love to leave Barnes out of that list. So I would want to do some finagling to try and get back home on the price. The one thing of news for tonight that I'm not sure winds up making a difference. Dwight Powell would have been an excellent play if he were to play tonight. He did sit, and that made room for Maxi Kleber, who just doesn't matter how many minutes the guy plays. It's just really hard for him to pay value. Powell would be kind of interesting, but you need a full-on full bill of health for him.
Yeah. You need to know he's starting and playing like 30 minutes. Again, yeah.
I just don't think you can be confident about that given that he just missed yesterday.
I think the one thing with Barnes too, like the one thing with Barnes is like he's consistent and he's just never gonna, not like this is like this is an arbitrary number, but he's just never gonna, he never has the upside to go like 50 points. Like his best game is like 36 fantasy points or something like that. Like that's like almost kind of like the best you can hope for on him. And even when he gets the minutes, it's because one is a pacing problem with Dallas. They pay at such a slow pace, and he just doesn't really do a ton else but score. So I think that's my only issue with Barnes is that he's like fine from a cash game perspective because he's fairly consistent on the minutes, and yet he just doesn't have crazy upside.
Yeah, when it's a slog and when you're sitting there and you're like, man, geez, these positions are all pretty rough, Harrison Barnes can be an oasis in a desert for you, right? He's averaging 30 fantasy points on the season, and his price is $6,500. That sounds pretty fair, right? But on a night like tonight, I'm just not sure fair gets you home.
And then finally, the Lakers are a team that haven't played their starters just crazy minutes this year. Lonzo is playing like 40 minutes a game. Kyle Kuzma is a guy that's played a ton. They're still without Brandon Ingram for this game. He's been sitting out for a while now. But the more guys that they're still without Isaiah Thomas.
It's a game time decision on Ingram right now, I think.
Oh, I thought he'd been. Okay, well, either way, I don't think he's going to play. But they've just been playing these guys. It's also been so long since he's played that I'm not concerned with him kind of jumping back in there. Randall is another one. Can we take minutes? The prices have all come up a little bit, and I'm not even sure if it's come up enough. Randall is $8,500, but power forward, we've talked about it being a rough position. Guys like Hakeem and Kuzma, do they fit the need maybe on FanDuel where we're going to maybe struggle to find value at a thinner position.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather not, I guess. Kuzma also dealing with a little bit of an ankle thing right now. I think if we had definitive word that Ingram weren't to play, I know it's not looking good for him right now, then maybe Kuzma. I think Randall's kind of just getting up to be too expensive for me. I mean, $8,500 right now, you have to kind of squint a little bit to see any sort of consistent payoffs at this price point. The floor has been reasonably high, but you don't get 5X on this price in terms of points per dollar until you go back to March 16th against Miami. Then before that, it's against Cleveland on March 11th. And then before that, it's like goes and goes and goes, and you're in February. So this is not a price point that he hits consistently on. Dallas is a fine matchup on the back of their horrendous defense, but they also play slow, so there's fewer possessions to go around as well. And for these guys that kind of contribute across the board, that can actually just be a pretty big problem here. So I just assume not target the Lakers. I suppose I could live with them. I think if I'm at the power forward position, I'd rather prioritize Kuzma than Randall.
Yep, I think I'm with you. And I the Kuzma minutes, as long as he's playing, and we might not have word. If it's an ankle injury and we don't know, that could be problematic for the 7
you don't
want to
read lock. Like he's going to see how it feels in warm-ups or anything like that, for sure.
Right, exactly. We want to know, at least for the 7 o'clock lock, that this game coming 3.5 hours after lock, we're going to need to know. And that we're definitely not going to get there like in testing and in pregame warm-up. So we'll keep an ear out for that. All right, we're going to get out of here. Remember, we're recording our baseball podcast today as well. DFSR.com/MLB will get you that discounted price on the early season baseball package. So go check that out. Optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. We'll be back again on Friday talking more basketball. And like I said, go check out the baseball podcast. Buddy, talk to you in a second when we talk baseball.
Later, Gator.